Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Rational Optimist: How Prosperity Evolves is a nonfiction book by Matt Ridley that combines economics, history, and science writing to make a broad argument about human progress. Its central purpose is to challenge modern pessimism by showing that living standards, health, knowledge, and material comfort have improved dramatically over long stretches of time, especially over the last few centuries. Ridley traces this progress to a recurring social process: people trading with one another, specializing in what they do best, and recombining ideas in ways that produce innovation. He presents prosperity not as the result of central planning or fixed resources, but as the outcome of exchange, trust, and cumulative cultural evolution. The book is aimed at readers interested in the forces behind economic development, globalization, and technological change, as well as those who want a data-driven counterargument to doom-focused narratives about the future. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, trade and specialization as the engine of prosperity. Ridley's most important claim is that prosperity comes less from natural resources than from exchange. When people trade, they can specialize, and specialization raises productivity because individuals, firms, and societies concentrate on what they do best. This basic economic mechanism helps explain why complex societies outperform isolated ones. The book treats trade as more than market activity. It is the coordination system that allows knowledge, skills, and goods to circulate efficiently. Ridley argues that the division of labor expands what human beings can produce far beyond what any individual could accomplish alone. That is why prosperity grows when societies become more interconnected rather than more self-sufficient. The argument is deliberately broad, spanning prehistory to modern markets. But its logic is straightforward. Exchange creates surplus, surplus funds, innovation, and innovation widens the range of goods and services available. In this view, progress is not accidental. It emerges from repeated acts of mutually beneficial exchange that gradually increase human capability and material abundance. Secondly, trust as the hidden condition for productive exchange. A major theme of the book is that trade does not work in a vacuum. Ridley emphasizes trust as the social foundation that makes exchange possible and reliable. People trade when they can expect fairness, continuity, and reciprocity. So prosperity depends on institutions and norms that reduce fear and uncertainty. This is one reason the book links economic development to social cooperation rather than to simple competition. Trust lowers the cost of doing business, enlarges networks of exchange, and allows strangers to cooperate productively. It also helps explain why societies with more stable commercial relationships tend to innovate faster once people can depend on one another. They are willing to specialize more deeply and engage in more ambitious forms of collaboration. Ridley's point is not that trust replaces self-interest, but that it channels self-interest into constructive exchange. This makes the book especially relevant to modern debates about globalization, where large-scale cooperation can only function if participants believe that contracts, norms, and shared rules will hold. Prosperity, in his account, is therefore both economic and social markets need moral and institutional trust to keep generating growth. Thirdly, ideas combine and evolve through collective intelligence. Another distinctive idea in the book is that innovation is cumulative. Ridley describes cultural progress as a process in which ideas are recombined, modified, and improved over time, much as biological evolution builds on variation and selection. His well-known formulation that ideas have sex captures this point. New advances often come from connecting existing ideas in unexpected ways. This makes human progress collective rather than purely individual. A single inventor may produce a breakthrough, but most breakthroughs depend on prior knowledge, open exchange, and the accumulation of many small contributions. The book treats this process as a form of distributed intelligence in which societies learn through trial, error, imitation, and refinement. That helps explain why progress accelerates when information flows freely across borders and disciplines. It also clarifies why isolation is costly when ideas cannot mix, innovation slows. Ridley's framework gives cultural evolution a central place in human history, suggesting that economic growth and technological change are outcomes of a shared knowledge system. In this sense, prosperity evolves because societies become better at combining minds, not just better at extracting raw materials. Fourthly, a long historical view of human welfare contradicts modern doom narratives. Ridley builds his case by comparing very long time spans, arguing that life today is far better than life in the distant past for most people. He points to improvements in food supply, shelter, sanitation, medicine, communication, mobility, and entertainment to show that human welfare has risen dramatically, especially in the modern era. The book's historical perspective is important because it resists the tendency to judge the future only by immediate anxieties. By looking across centuries and millennia, Ridley argues that pessimism often overlooks the scale of accumulated gains already achieved. This does not mean that every period or region has improved equally, but it does mean that broad civilizational trends have been strongly upward. The book uses this long view to reframe familiar fears about population, technology, and change. Where many commentators see instability, Ridley sees adaptation. Where others see a fragile present, he sees a long record of human problem-solving. The effect is not merely optimistic rhetoric. It is a historical argument that prosperity should be measured by evidence over time, not by worst-case impressions or short-term fluctuations. Lastly, limits, criticisms, and the book's selective optimism, The Rational Optimist is also notable for the way it invites debate. Its optimistic framework is persuasive to many readers because it is broad, energetic, and grounded in historical change. But critics have argued that it can minimize serious problems such as inequality, environmental stress, financial instability, and uneven development. That tension is part of the book's significance. Ridley's confidence in trade, adaptation, and technological progress leads him to treat many threats as manageable within a larger upward trend. Supporters see this as a corrective to exaggerated fear. Critics see it as too willing to discount local suffering and systemic risk. The book is therefore useful not only for its thesis, but also for the questions it raises about how to balance progress with caution. It encourages readers to ask whether modern pessimism is evidence-based or habitual, while also forcing them to consider what kinds of harms can be absorbed by growth and what kinds cannot. This makes the book more than a simple defense of markets. It is a sustained intervention in debates about globalization, public policy, and the meaning of progress itself. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want a serious, evidence-driven defense of economic and technological progress. Economists, policy readers, students of history, and general readers who are tired of collapse narratives will find it especially useful. Its main value lies in how it connects big ideas trade, specialization, trust, innovation, and cultural evolution are presented as parts of one long explanation for rising prosperity. That makes it more ambitious than a conventional popular economics book and more accessible than a technical academic work. Readers will gain a broad framework for thinking about globalization, development, and why societies often improve through decentralized exchange rather than top-down design. What sets it apart from similar books is its combination of historical sweep and argumentative clarity. Ridley does not just claim that things are getting better. He tries to explain the mechanism behind that improvement and why pessimism so often misreads long-term trends. Even readers who disagree with parts of the argument are likely to find it a useful corrective and a strong example of intellectually engaged nonfiction. If you would like to support Matt Ridley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.